Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastramavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 38. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, showing their foolishness, they are amazed by the power of Maya to bewilder them and offer respects to the omniscient Lord with devotion to remove that illusion. We offer our respects to the Lord full of inconceivable powers, Bhagavate, who has unfailing knowledge, Akunta Medase. They describe themselves as the opposite. By Maya our intelligence is bewildered, and we wander on the path of karma, repeatedly absorbed in it, like falling into a whirlpool and being unable to get out. The Brahmanas concluded, we were bewildered by Lord Krishna's illusory potency, and thus could not understand his influence as the original personality of Godhead. Now we hope you will kindly forgive our offense. Thus reflecting on the sin they had committed by neglecting Lord Krishna, they became very eager to see him. But being afraid of King Kamsa, they did not dare go to Braja. So it appears they're outside of Braja. So they don't have that same kind of position. So, because that's one of the things of the residents of Vrindavan, they don't worry about the social aspects. They just go. They're not worried about the political positions and things like that. That's one of the symptoms of that pure devotional service. So they respect the Lord, but they still haven't come to this point.
Is it that they just don't worry about it, or is it that they may consider it but don't act on it, or is that a superfluous point?
Means who?
Not maybe they worry about what to give at rasa,
who?
The residents of Vrindavan.
No, they don't worry about it.
But isn't it that the rasa dance gets more exciting because it's not proper?
Or the point is on tattva, is there anything for the devotee to worry about in his relationship between himself and Krishna? Yes, so that's the position. Now in rasa, then if there's things to consider, that's another thing. But the point is here, are they considering rasa? That's not where they're going.
Right.
So the point is here, is they're worried about the social position. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, why did the Brahmas not surrender to Krishna just then? By going to the forest of Ashok trees, or later by going to Braja? This verse answers, at that moment they were bewildered by grief and guilt, and were not in common agreement. Thus they did not go to the Ashok grove. After some time passed, in the evening, when they agreed that they would go to Braja, they could not go. The word cha indicates they made movements to go but could not. Suddenly it occurred to all of them at the same time that Kamsa was present. They were afraid that Kamsa, hearing through messengers that they were going to Braja, would kill them. However, fear of being killed did not create an obstacle for the wives to see Krishna. The reason was their prema. Because they're forgetting Krishna's in control. So then with these things, then it goes. Because they could have gone at the time of the Ashokvan, when he was right there. But they didn't. You know.
It says that they were not in common agreement. Meaning?
They would have been probably discussing about their position, the wife's position, and this and that. And so by time of discussion, then they came to the common understanding. But by that time, Krishna must have left the Ashokvan and gone back to Braja. So then they could have gone, but they were worried that Kamsa's men are spying on them or something, and so then they'll have a problem. So they didn't catch that. So
can we say that what would be their position we usually say that Vrajbhasis, they're on the highest levels of prema.
Right.
And the wives are also on the stage of prema. What would be their position then?
Something lower than that. They've understood, but they can't act on it. That, I'm not sure. The point to catch here is that one should have that commitment to serve Krishna and be able to apply it and not be worried about all the different social things. You know, oh, people won't like us if we go out on Harinam and that. We should just do things people will like, and then if we do things people will like, then liking us, then they'll be, you know, ecstatic about devotional service, right? That's why they do everything. You know, people like, you know, whatever it is, Brad Pitt, that's why everybody becomes an actor, right? You know, just, you know, like that.
And we say their position is a bit similar to ours in the sense that we do join, we become enthusiastic, and at times we do, but then we kind of go back to our, not so badly, but we, because the wives, they were ready to leave everything behind,
right,
and stay like that.
Yeah.
This
I mean, you can say on that, but I don't think that that's the... I would say is that's not the example we're taking from them. Because why take that example? Oh, we're like them. What would be the advantage?
No, just because sometimes when we see examples in Bhagavatam, like the wives of the Brahmanas, it seems that once they did it, they will always do like that. Like very steady and going up in their prema. But in our case, we make our sankalpas, we try, and then we have setbacks. And we
yeah, but then we would use another form to compare that to. Mm-hmm. What I'm meaning is, why would we compare ourselves to the Brahmins?
In the way they acted, even though they had this understanding, and even though they
What I mean is that that's not the main point. Mm-hmm. What we have to learn is we shouldn't be like that, not that we are like that. Does that make sense? So you just have to shift the perspective, because we're not trying to find an identity of how we're not Krishna conscious. We're trying to look at the identities of those who are. You know, so we learn from them. Here, maybe how Srila Prabhupada presents it. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Srila Sanatana Goswami points out that the difference between the Brahmanas and their wives was their levels of faith. The wives had firm faith, whereas the Brahmins' faith was not as strong. So then, that's they don't have it, so therefore, we should try to become more like what they are. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
even if it doesn't work, still. The Brahmanas repented their sinful activities. They wanted to go personally to offer their obeisances unto him, but being afraid of Kamsa, they could not go to Krishna and surrender unto him. In other words, it is very difficult for one to surrender fully unto the personality of Godhead without being purified by devotional service. The example of the learned Brahmins and their wives is vivid. The wives of the Brahmins, because they were inspired by pure devotional service, did not care for any kind of opposition. They immediately went to Krishna. But the Brahmanas, although they had come to know the supremacy of the Lord and were repenting, were still afraid of King Kamsa because they were too much addicted to fruitive activities. Right, so we can take that example. So we should try to not be addicted to fruitive activity. So we can see maybe we're on that level, but we should try to be like the wives were, not like how the Brahmins were. Is that? Yeah.
Okay. When the wives, the Brahmins, when they say to Krishna, they don't want to go back to return to their homes. You know? And Krishna gives them instructions and then they return. So it is similar to the case of the gopis when they go to the Rastas and they don't.
Wait, before we get into this. Just as one, I will make a very broad, formal announcement that we will not be entertaining any questions that put the position of the gopis and their full surrender into any kind of like that. We had it the other day in that. It's like we are not going to entertain such questions. It's already been established by Lord Chaitanya. They're in the highest position. And so, therefore, I don't want to hear these quasi-intellectual, you know, questions about doubting the position, you know, like the other day, but it seems like the wives are more surrendered than the gopis, but they're not.
Question is different.
But why do we have to, what are we trying to find out?
That the surrender of the gopis was more because they are in Braja and whereas the wives are outside of Braja, therefore it...
So if the gopis happened to be outside Braja, they wouldn't surrender so much, like when they were at Kurukshetra, then they couldn't surrender, or
no.
what are we saying here? You know what I'm saying? We're talking about who they are and what their position is. Why do we have to fit it into time and space? It's a generic thing that they heard about Krishna from authorized sources. They developed that attraction for Krishna even without seeing him. And they had that firm faith. And then when they got the opportunity to meet Krishna, they did. They took it. That's what we learn. We don't have to find out as well, the Ashokvan is there, so because of the Ashok trees, is that why then they couldn't this and that? Or, you know, maybe it was the direction, so astrologically is that, you know, the gopis, when they leave their place in Varshana, let's see, Nandagan's here, Varshana's there, east is over there. So they're going east towards Yavat, no, they're in Yavat, they're already in Yavat. Ooh, yeah. So then from there, then they're going over to this place, so because of the direction they went, well, that was actually more towards the south, you know, when they went, like Tirukadamba, that side over there, Udupkeri, that one especially, and that, you know, so is that what caused them that they could do it more, or was it because of all the thorns on the ground in Udupkeri, that going through that, then they had to give up any physical attachments and stuff like that, is that what made the surrender? But For the Brahmins' wives, there were no thorns in that because the Kshatriyas don't have thorns, so they could go directly. And does this make sense? So try to avoid that. It means you want to deal with everybody else, just talk with them straight. But as soon as you mention the gopi's name at that time, be very careful. That's my point. You know. So it's an official... You know, you can take it up, these funny questions, with other people, but just don't bring them up here. Gopis, we talk about in their context. We talk about the wives in their context. Like that. Don't try to compare them and figure out what exactly the difference is and this and that. It's being given here. It's in that mood. They had that firm faith. They went forward. They took the advantage of it. The husbands, because of their attachments, they wouldn't. Because of their attachments, they don't want to do anything that will jeopardize their attachments. You know, I could go over to the meeting and tell them, no, I think we should do it like that. That would be more Krishna conscious. But because half the guys in the meeting are actually authorizing my monthly money and all that, and I don't want to upset them because then they may not give the money, so then I won't go and say anything. That's what we're talking about here. That's what these Brahmins are. While the wives and they were just interested in devotion to Krishna. They just went to surrender. They weren't worried what will happen. And because of that, Krishna arranged it. Because Yoga Maya is the one that's controlling everything. Because the Brahmins are thinking they're still in control. So if I go, then it'll have this effect. If I don't go, it'll have like this. While the wives, they were just surrendered. This is what we're supposed to catch. We're putting too much emphasis on the secondary aspects. That's what, you know what I'm saying. We have to see is that when we're dealing with 10th canto, we're looking at the primary aspect. And then the secondary will just add to the flavor. The secondary does not cause, secondary never causes bhakti. Because religious principles are a general aspect. They can be used in any way. You can use religious principles for artha and kama. You can use religious principles for getting to the heavenly planets. You can use it for liberation. You can use it for bhakti. You know, it's like a kitchen. You can cook anything in it. The same kitchen, I can cook Bengali, I can cook Gujarati, I can cook South Indian, I can cook North Indian, I can cook Afghani, I can cook Lebanese, I can cook, you know, what the Creoles cook in Louisiana. You know, I can cook, you know, I can make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches like they do in California. I can keep going over and, you know, like that. I can cook Chinese. You know, I'm saying the kitchen can cook anything. So religious principles are a generic thing you can use in any way. So what we're seeing here is that We use religious principles, and that's a proper situation, but it's not the religious principles that make it happen. It's the devotion to Krishna. That's what's then, what's special. And so Prahlad Maharaj is making that point strongly, and we see that in the Brajavasis. So Krishna wants you to follow the religious principles to please him, but not be attached to the religious principles. Because if we're attached, means we're worried about the benefits we'll get from it. Like that. Or some other reason we just like it. You know, the feeling, the motive goodness is there, the regularity, this and that. Those aspects, because those are benefits, side benefits that we'll get from it. Krishna doesn't want us to be attached to those. But we would use them, but since it's about his pleasure, we would give them up also. But in giving them up, you're actually following the same principle on a higher level. Because it's never, it means the gopis are his eternal associates, his eternal companions. So if, you know, you say husband and wife, it means here in this world, we'll say when you get married, husband and wife, okay, they'll be married for 7 lifetimes, right? They don't mention this one anymore. They say, okay. Yeah, we kind of like, and so for some. Okay. Yes, and so, you know.
Just one lifetime.
Yeah, before it was 7, so you got through the 1 quite easily, right? You know, and it's like, yes. Oh.
7 years.
So maybe that's it. Is what what do you call it? Elizabeth Taylor misunderstood the point. She thought it was 7 times you get married. Okay, and now
she's going straight for the look of it.
Yeah. So that's it. Okay. Now I get it. Okay. Right. So this is what we're trying to catch here. So we have to understand that the logic and all that means we can look at it and be pleased logically that it works, but it's not that logic makes it work. Religious principles don't make it work. Mm. Yeah. So if we want to just look on their own, then you analyze like this, I'm not going to complain. But as soon as you mention the gopis in the same sentence right there, then, what do you call it? You know, those funny hairs on the back of your neck start bristling and all that kind of stuff. You know, saying, you know, just like if somebody asks some stupid question about Prabhupada, like, you know, same thing. Somebody's going out through one of these openings. You know, so it's just, is it me or is it the other person or, you know, so these are just generic things that we should all be careful of. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because you're trying to catch the essential. It's not the secondary form that the gopis used or the secondary form of the wives. It's the primary aspect. So they're all on the same path. Pure devotion is pure devotion. Now, where you're situated according to rasa, that's a different thing. Like that. But the point is to learn from them is how they're willing to surrender everything to Krishna. Despite, then we're going to see the gopis doing that on even a more wonderful level. But that principle of surrendering everything, Prahlad Maharaj, he was surrendered to Krishna, didn't care about the situation. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. So the Brahmins, we're just being practical, Prabhu. Yes, but it's a lower level. Because it's practical for themselves, not necessarily for other things. Is that...
Here we see another point that the wives of Brahmanas, they heard from, it is just mentioned, they heard from those who make garlands and others. Mm-hmm. Necessarily their position is not established as like, there's somebody very special. But they develop the pure love. So like, a lot of people think that, no, my guru or somebody from whom we hear should be.
Yes.
Just authorized people.
But the point is if it's in an authorized line, what does it matter?
That's
sort of like. As long as it's authorized, it works. Because what are they going to be speaking on? Their own realization or the realizations of the acharyas? So you're hearing the acharyas' realizations, even though it's through this person. So maybe the volume of that they can carry is not necessarily as much as someone else. But the point is what they're carrying is to say, if you have a small stream or a huge river, the water is the same, it's just the volume of it. So they can influence a few people, why we see like Prabhupada, he can influence the whole world. So that'll be the difference. But the point is the new bhakta talked and they became a devotee, started chanting, and Prabhupada talked and they became a devotee. The difference is that Prabhupada is able to make get them all to be interested. It'll be quicker because they're only representing Prabhupada.
So, this example also shows that.
Yes. Yes, but yes, but it said that they were from Braja, like that. So it seems the wives go to Braja for things, unless the Brajabasis come through there selling their wares or something.
For the market.
Yeah, but it mentioned they went to the market, yeah. Yeah, because in Vrindavan, the gopis take stuff out to the market, so they may have even been hearing from the gopis. You don't know. It doesn't say, because in here it's not specific that it's important who it is. Like that. So only enough detail that will get into this. We could say, no, we need more detail, but those are secondaries, the detail we're looking for. Because when you want detail in rasa, it'll go right over our head. You know, like that. Because they take a quality that we'll take as standard and then break it down into various parts and then break each one of those down into parts. And then from that causes this, and this goes together with that, and you know, then... So that's the detail that is of value. And these other ones, then only if it has some meaning, then it will be mentioned. But otherwise, it's not.
We see that 10th canto is more specifically on the primary points.
Yes, it's just on the primary.
But we, like habit, always concentrate on the secondary. So the question is, will it come on its own, or we have to make
What do you mean by making an effort?
Do we have
to? Do we have to make any effort at all? What about dinner? Will we make an effort?
Sure.
So there's your answer. So, but we're trying to make the effort to please Krishna, trying to make the effort that our senses are controlled or I'm peaceful or that we're not, we never try for. We try for that by being peaceful, then the mind's not agitated, therefore it can think of Krishna. That's why I want to think of Krishna. So those things that will make me peaceful, I'll do that because it makes me think of Krishna. Right? But it's about thinking of Krishna, not about being peaceful. So yes, we do make an effort. But the point is we're making an effort, but then it's just like, did the spiders make an effort? Did the bridge get built? Yes, so they don't have to. They did their effort and the bridge happened. So we make our little effort and it happens.
Just waiting for it happens to happen.
I see. How do you know it isn't happening?
That's another question.
But the point is that one's aware of the value of it happening means it's happening. Otherwise, how would it? But point is that one can observe that means that there's something going on. Because otherwise, when we're new, we say it's not happening because that's the thing you're supposed to say to the others so that you look humble and therefore they'll think, oh, he's more advanced.
Yeah.
Right?
Wait, others know about this? I thought I was the only one who figured that one out.
I thought that's what all new bhaktas do.
I think that's part of vibing.
Yeah.
Just inviting.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, we're good. So in other words, ask questions, but keep them a little bit more compartmentalized, you know, leaving the gopis out of it. Unless it's about the gopis, and then we do. Yes.
So can we say that at this point, the brahmanas, they're still kanishtha adhikaris?
It would appear so.
And actually, their own position and Krishna's position is more important than Krishna as a person for them.
Yes, because that's the thing. He's the Supreme Lord. They've made an offense why they didn't see he's the Supreme Person.
Yeah.
So it wasn't about pleasing Krishna. It was about that. So yes, I would say it's there. But at least what's happened is that, you know, some faith is there and it's moved into the devotional process. While before they were simply on the platform of of dharma for the purpose of fruitive benefits. And what holds them back is still their attachment to the fruitive benefits. Right? Because they're looking at it that Kamsa sees all things. And he may see a lot. If he's a good king, he has spies everywhere. But the point is that there's Kamsa and then there's Yogamaya. And so Kamsa can't see into Braj. So because they put themselves under the control of the material energy, because they want the benefits, right? Because as when you have attachment, then there's surrender. So they have attachment to the material, so there's surrender to the material. But now they've come to the point of understanding Krishna. So then it would appear that then they've started on this path, but it's like that. He's God more than he is a person. While for their wives, he's a person. So they have Bhagavan realization. While they understood that God, as they know, because it's not that they had something, a problem with God. It's just that they never thought of God so much as the personal aspect in devotion. So a neophyte will mean that they accept the principle of Bhagavan and worshipping in devotion, just that the tendency is to do that because he's God. But they accept that he's a person. So your neophyte devotee is beyond the Brahman and Paramatma realization. They're in the Bhagavan level of realization, but just they're neophytes in that. And so for them, the support of the other two is very important. But for their wives, it wasn't. So we can understand already they're steady on the path. But by the point made Pandava of Abandava, they were still kind of had the vision of being that they were Brahmin women. And so for their Brahmin duties and all that. So that would then situate them on, you know, seems to very advanced levels, but within the Madhyama platform, or on lower levels of the Uttam platform. But they did see Krishna, you know, which is nice, you could say, but they saw Krishna, but then so did Kamsa. And he's not known as a devotee at all.
The Brahmanas, they didn't see Krishna, actually. All their prayers, the offering, it's not to him.
Yes, no, they didn't. Because they wouldn't go see. Because they could have seen right there, but it appears they were still bewildered and trying to work out what's happening. And so then Krishna then had by that time gone back to Braj. So then by the evening, then they do. Then they thought, let's go. But then they're worried about Kamsa. So they had their moment. And they didn't take it.
It's common. Devotees, you know, sometimes get mental about things.
Yes.
And the second thought comes and then...
Sometimes.
He's being nice. He doesn't want to make anybody feel, how you say, lose enthusiasm.
He knows how much to dose.
Yes.
I appreciate
this. Yes. And also it appears that they're outside of Braja, because Braja is somewhere else. So in going around, it appears they, you know, because they have the 12 forests, then they can go to the edge of the 12 forests, because it's still in Braj. But then, you know, those outside of there, then they had an opportunity to come see him, but the wives took it, the Brahmins didn't. And then they would have to go all the way in, and then they're worried that there'll be some problem. Is that something?
Much. Like this case of Brahmanas, they are a little like a state of division.
Yes.
So when we start to preach to people, at one point people will be like, you know, in a very crucial state of bewilderment, whether to do or not. By themselves they cannot decide. So at that time we generally, if they have some kind of attachment to us, we push them to just take it and come inside.
The point is just to keep discussing with them so that position of Shraddha comes. Because the Ajnata Sukriti, then that, when that comes to a particular volume, then it transforms into Shraddha. So it's no longer unknown pious activities, it actually becomes directly pious activity. Does that make sense? So, because bhakti is the highest pious activity, so they take up bhakti. So it's just a matter of discussing and inspiring in such a way that they come across and develop that faith. Does that make sense? Like that. Because if they're not sure, means it hasn't come to that point yet. So them discussing and then thinking, probably the remorse, remembering about the Lord, then it came to the point where then they could have that proper faith. But when Krishna was in the Ashokavan, then it appears they didn't have that. They couldn't come to that conclusion, so they still hadn't come to the position of Shraddha yet. But at this point, it appears they came to that. Does that make sense? Well, the wives were already, you know, past that point. They already had that faith.
So. Because what happens, like, especially when we are preaching to youth, there are certain moments that they take up at that, it would be very intense that they are with the group and they come here, and as soon as they cross their first year of studies, they're like lost. So that time, just
the point is you have to know, it's just like, when do you offer the mango?
That's right.
What about half a day before that?
Okay.
What about half a day after that?
Okay.
Or one day after that?
Okay.
Huh? You understand?
Yes,
so the point is you deal with the fruit, whatever it is. If it's kacha, you make it into a chutney. If it's ripe, you eat it. If it's overripe, you know, put it in a blender with, you know, some stuff and make it into a drink. Unless you put it into that South Indian dal like that. Then you can do that. I think they do that in Kerala. No? There's a dal that they put sweet mangoes in. Ripe mangoes. You know that one? No? 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 You know it. Like that. So, yeah. So it's just a matter of if this is the time it'll happen, then you catch him at this time. Because then when the window will open again, you know, maybe, you know, when they're 60 years old. So, you know, because according to Hindu tradition, you know, it's sometime after 50, though it never comes. Like that. It's like, how you say, it's the Hindu application of manana. You know? Manana means tomorrow. You say, hey, why don't you do this now? No, manana, we'll do it tomorrow. Then the problem is when tomorrow comes, it becomes today, so tomorrow is the next day. So tomorrow never comes. So. Yeah? Yeah, good? Yeah? Okay. Chapter 24, Worshipping Govardhan Hill, Pratigya. One should do one's activities by first understanding thoroughly, taking the advice and intelligence of intimate associates, rather than do things by imitation or custom. Chapter 24, summarized as questions and answers. The questions asked in this chapter are not philosophical in nature, and are therefore not included in this study. Adhyaya Prakashika. The pastimes during the 6th and 7th years, beginning with herding cows, have been described. Now 4 chapters describe the principal pastimes at the beginning of the 8th year. Having great attachment, Krishna lived in Braja. Absorbed in pastimes, there the people were most fortunate. Srila Sanatana Goswami's Vaishnava Toshana. In this chapter, Krishna crushes the pride of Indra by prohibiting a sacrifice intended for him and initiating a substitute sacrifice in worship of Govardhan Hill. That I know of, yes. I'm not sure if he did all... I kind of, that I remember, he did just 10th canto. I think Vishwanath has done the whole thing. And some others have done, or some of them have done certain parts, or like that. So there's a whole kind of group of what do you call it? Commentaries that as you go through the Bhagavatam, then you can take advantage of, you know, these various positions. So we're only taking more advantage of it once we cross the 13th chapter.
Like that. Excuse me.
But otherwise, before that, Prabhupada's already brought in, so you see how much is brought in is very small. You know, it's rare that you have something that's bigger. But once we get into here, then there's so many. Like that. So technically, Govardhan Puja would be the original puja, and the Indra Yagya would be the substitute. So Krishna's just reversing the roles here. When Sri Krishna saw the cowherd men busily preparing for a sacrifice to Indra, he inquired about it from their king, Nanda. Nanda explained that the rain given by Indra enables all living entities to maintain their lives, and therefore this sacrifice would be executed to satisfy him. Krishna responded, "It is because of karma alone that living entities take their birth in a certain body, experience varieties of happiness and suffering in that body, and then give it up as the karma pertaining to it runs out. Thus it is karma alone that is our enemy, our friend, our guru, and our lord. And Indra can do nothing to alter the happiness and distress of anyone, for everyone is tightly bound by his karmic reactions. The material modes of goodness, passion, ignorance bring about the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this world. The clouds give forth rain when they are impelled by the mode of passion. And cowherds prosper by protecting the cows. Furthermore, the cowherd's proper residence is in the forest and on the hills. Therefore, you should offer worship to the cows, the brahmanas, and Govardhan Hill." After Krishna spoke thus, he arranged for the cowherd men to worship Govardhan Hill with the paraphernalia collected for the sacrifice to Indra. He then assumed a huge, unprecedented transcendental form and devoured all the food and other offerings presented to Govardhana. As he did so, he proclaimed to the cowherd community that though they had worshipped Indra for so long, he had never appeared in person, for his Govardhan himself had now manifested before their eyes and eaten their offerings of foodstuff. Therefore, they should now offer obeisances to Govardhan Hill. Then Krishna joined the cowherds in offering obeisances to his newly assumed, his own newly assumed form. Right. So Krishna is there pointing out himself and telling them how Krishna, Govardhan, has come so nicely and like that. So, yes, yes.
It seems like Krishna is really playing, because in previous pastimes he showed that the brahmanas did a big mistake. And now he's preaching Karma Mimamsa to his own father. And I was just thinking, he had an option to preach Vedanta, but he didn't.
Because just the point is they will be, just because they love him, they'll do it. So it's just a matter of bringing out that devotion. That's the nice part, is because he would like them to do the Govardhan Puja. That's actually why they'll do it.
It's not because of philosophy that they agreed, it's just because he said it, that's why they agreed.
Yeah, basically, it's not that they're not going to discuss it, because the whole point is he brings it up as a discussion also. So it's, these things are, they're real, in that it's about Krishna and they're going on, but at the same time, it's not that Krishna needs these things. But it's real in that it's moving in the realm of devotion. The aspect of the sentiments. Like here, we'll consider philosophy higher than sentiment. But in the spiritual world, sentiment is higher than philosophy. Like that. So that's actually the thing, is then you're playing with that aspect. As we see, as it goes more and more with the gopis and the others, that they get into it, the play, what they do, the play on words and all that. It's just an opportunity to interact and spend time. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, it can be one way or the other, but one party will be, coming out of the, wherever it is, the building and going to some place for something, and then the other party will come by on some pretense, but the only idea is to just get, that interaction. Does that make sense? So it's not necessary, but it's done because of the relationship of rasa. So it's the same thing. Its origin is in Krishna. Because in Krishna, he doesn't require it. But it's just the niceness of the devotees and how they feel and think and everything like that. Because these feelings and all that, these are real. That affection that they have, that's real. So that's the important thing. We're used to that it's it's the knowledge, it's the paraphernalia, it's the time, the place, you know, the abilities, all this, that this is what actually makes things happen. And that's why things are done. But actually it's done just because of relationships. Even if we do those things, ultimately, if it doesn't end in something with some relationship, then we don't care. You know, it's like, what is it, your standard, demon, that something he did, you know, he wasn't the wimpy kid, he was the whiny kid. And then people harassed him, and so now he's going to get back, and they'll have to recognize and accept that he is this superior and this and that. So it's all about rasa, even though they'll be very expert in their knowledge and all this and that. And so it's always about that. It appears it's about these other things, you know, power, knowledge. But no, it's about relationship. Because if you're the king of the world and there's no one there, you know, it's just like, you know, I don't know how well it was going for the little prince, right? You know, because it's, you know, who else is there? I said, then, you know. Does that make sense? So that actually is what is real for the soul. These other things are only in support of that. But we're so used to thinking that the results of these things will make me happy, that we may, you know, mix things up so it's not very clear, very scientific.
Like the instrument that Krishna uses to conduct Nanda Baba, it's Karmayama also. It's a weak instrument. But Nanda Baba, he gets conducted because of love for Krishna, not the instrument that Krishna.
That's there, but it's not only. But the point is, you have to remember, in after Vedanta, Karma Mimamsa is the next strongest. The four below that can all be defeated by Karma Mimamsa. So Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Shankya, and Patanjali can all be defeated by Karma Mimamsa. Right? Like that. But Vedanta can defeat Karma Mimamsa, because one is Purva and one is Uttara. Because one is the Samhitas and Brahmanas, the other was Aranyaka and Upanishads. Does that make sense? So that's the difference. One is about, you have the knowledge and its application and the results. The other is about the metaphysics and the transcendental understanding. Does that make sense? So it's higher. But otherwise, as a philosophy, it's quite strong. Yes?
It also seems that the Karma Mimamsa philosophy puts a lot of emphasis on the secondary, leaving out the attitude.
Yes, yes. It is all about the secondary, because the primaries are selves, because God, he has to do it, as it will be explained. He just puts Indra in that. So that, because they're applying it to Indra, then if it's like this. Yes, if you do pious activities, then the demigods give results. But do the demigods ever give you good results if you didn't do the pious activity? No. Yeah. So in that way, he wins the argument. So because you've done the pious activity, you'll get it whether, you know, you worship Indra or not. That's his point. But what's being left out here is, because in the Karma Mimamsa, that's as far as it goes. But the point is, why is it that if you perform a sacrifice, you get results? That's not addressed by Karma Mimamsa, because that they don't know, because it's the Supreme Lord has desired it to be that way. So that's why you get the results, because of his. They're just saying, oh, he's just there and that, and he has nothing to do with it. But the point is, he totally has everything to do with it. That's the weakness in their philosophy. But when you're applying to the demigods or other people, then it can be used to advantage. Because these other are materialistic, so therefore then you can... It will defeat all the other philosophies. But then you defeat that with Vedanta.
It also seems that they have catched the Sankarshan principle, but they don't have the Pradyumna. That's the missing part.
that's there, but there, but we do see that they are grateful for what they're doing, right? The gratefulness is there, and so that's why then they're reciprocating. So they're being cultured in that way. But what's not being understood is that if you worship the Supreme Lord, the demigods are already satisfied. But the point is if he brings in that too strongly, because then the question comes up is why would they use karma mimamsa? Like that, you know, so it's just a play or it's just this and that, but it doesn't really matter. It's because if you use the karma mimamsa, then where do they get their benefit from? From the Brahmins, cows, and Govardhan Hill. So then they'll worship Govardhan Hill, which is Krishna. Well, if they push too much the Vedanta philosophy, that the Supreme Lord in that, then they'll go back to their house and worship their deities at home. You know what I'm saying? And Krishna will not be as part of the loop. So that's the whole point, is that you use these other aspects, it's simply just because it brings out their devotion to Krishna. Well, if you use the Vedanta philosophy, it's not that they won't be able to understand, they talk it themselves. Nanda Baba quotes Gita all the time. But then it switches them into a different flavor. So that sweetness that is there of how they're doing their duties nicely and how Krishna is pleased like that, then he can reciprocate his Govardhan Hill. So in that way, they do get that aspect of worship that they were planning for, that religious process, but at the same time, it's connected with Krishna rather than with Vishnu or with the demigods or like that. You know what I'm saying? So it can maintain the sweetness of Vrindavan. Because by this, why is Krishna doing this? Just because Govardhan's hungry or something? So we already know from the previous chapter, it's not because he needs the food. So that's why we have to carry that knowledge over to this one. Is that he doesn't need the food, it's the reciprocation. So by asking for food, then the wives of the Brahmins, they'll come forward and show that affection for Krishna. And he'll reciprocate with that. And in the process, then the husbands, who are simply karmakanda Brahmins, then will come to the devotional platform. Though, beginning, but they've come to that platform. So that's the benefit. He doesn't need the food. So Govardhan doesn't need the food. But by doing this, then they interact and that love and affection can be exchanged, because he is... all the residents of Vrindavan love Krishna so much they'd like to be with him all the time. So he arranges that by the Govardhan Leela. And Indra is becoming puffed up because of his position, and he can put Indra in his place. You know, just like you put Brahma in his place, like that. So now Indra will be put in his place. Is that... yeah. So Krishna does many things with one pastime. Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses 1 to 11. Nandamars explains the Indra Yajna to Sri Krishna. 12 to 30. Krishna persuades the cowherd men to abandon the Indra Yajna. 31 to 38. The worship of Govardhan Hill. Verses 1 to 11. Nanda Baba explains the Indra Yajna to Sri Krishna. We need some of those Tirupati Brahmins. All, you know, all in a line out here, you know, so they go. Move them all along. Right? Yes. It's just, what do you call it? Contemplating why in Kali Yuga people don't have potency. Otherwise things wouldn't work out so good. Yeah. Sugadev Goswami said, while staying in that very place with his brother, Baladev, Lord Krishna happened to see the cowherd men busily arranging for a sacrifice to Indra. Srila Sanatan Goswami comments, Krishna saw the cowherds engaged in gathering ingredients for worship of Indra by raising a flag for Indra, etc., at the place called Indra Dvaya Kunda, east of Govardhan. Though they did these activities every year with worship of Indra, and Krishna saw it, now he saw it in a special way. Previously, he was indifferent, but now, when the time was proper, he saw it as an opportunity for stopping Indra's sacrifice and lifting Govardhan Hill. This pastime took place during the monsoon in the autumn season. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, as stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a devotee... A devotee of Krishna has strong faith, strong and firm faith in the understanding that if he is simply engaged in Krishna consciousness and Krishna's transcendental loving service, then he is freed from all other obligations. A pure devotee of Lord Krishna doesn't have to perform any of the ritualistic functions enjoined in the Vedas, nor is he required to worship any demigods. Being a devotee of Lord Krishna, one is understood to have performed all kinds of Vedic rituals and all kinds of worship to the demigods. One does not develop devotional service for Krishna by performing the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or worshipping the demigods, but it should be understood that one who is engaged fully in the service of the Lord has already fulfilled all Vedic injunctions. Right, so there's no need to perform these Vedic rituals and that because of the benefit that will be gained. One simply performs one's duties in the context of service to Krishna. Where did these come from, you know? It means the original one broke, and so now they have this one or something?
Plastic from China.
Maybe it's a toy.
Some kind of... What we need is those, you know, that you have those cans of air,
yes.
And you can put those things on top, like the horn. We just sit here and go with it through, and when they come by and honk the horn, we just... you know, knock them off the road. Yes.
Dig the road just in here.
Yeah, I always just think about that in Calcutta. That's what I was thinking about before, is that why in the Kali Yuga they don't have. Like,
it's an advantage.
Yeah. But I did see once in Delhi, and the Kanat Circus was there. They were digging for the, the metro. And some taxi had driven through the barrier and into the hole. You know, so it was, yeah. You know, so I remembered back to all the days in Calcutta where I wished that had happened.
Maybe that was about
that was the guy had moved to Delhi, right?
Only for that reason.
Yeah.
This one should move there too.
You know, it's like the little babies, they have the shoes, when they walk, they squeak, you know, like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So the Vedic injunctions is that what is authorized as the standard part of one's daily activities or one's duties, that part remains. But what it means is stuff beyond that, where one gets particular benefit for that, material benefits, those are the ones that are given up. Right? Because that's the one that ritualistic Brahmins are into. They're into all those things because they'll get the benefit for it, rather than what is recommended and therefore doing that. But you're doing that simply because it pleases Krishna, not because of the benefit you'll get. Yes.
That's what we call in Javadharma Niti and Naimitika. Naimitika is the occasional.
The occasional, but no, that would be Kamyaka. Just like, let's say we chant our japa, that's Nitya. But let's say, like, Ekadasi, that's Naimitika. Or Janmastami, it's Naimitika. But for us, it's all part of, it's all Nitya, it's all eternal. You know, while then, what we'll say is that even though materialists are performing things in the daily, that's not actually the real Nitya activities, because they're not sat. Right? So sub-dharma means that which is connected with the transcendental. So what we're meaning here is the kamika. So that's definitely dropped. And then the other aspects is that seeing that in connection with the Lord, that's the whole thing. Sukadeva Goswami continued, being the omniscient super soul, the Supreme Lord Krishna already understood the situation. Yet he simply humbly inquired from the elders headed by his father, Nanda Maharaj. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. He asked humbly since he was endowed with all good qualities, Bhagavan. He knew because he was Paramatma, and he asked the question because he wanted to use the opportunity for his purpose showing all people, Sarva Darshanaha. Krishna considered, it is fine that they worship the devatas who are my eternal manifestations when I was not present, but in my presence, intimate direct worship is more pleasing. Right, means you don't have the Lord present, so then you're worshiping all these different aspects, and you're relating with Krishna, and Krishna will reciprocate on that level. But when he's there personally, then the interaction should be with him personally. Right? So these other forms are not important anymore. Since my father and others are the greatest devotees, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.34, it gives me sorrow that they worship lowly Indra, who is full of pride. He thus asked mainly the elders, with a desire to begin worship of the most intimate Govardhan, right? Because then it's worship of him. Right? Because if it's their worshiping, where they're getting the benefit from, right? Since, then why not, it's from Govardhan. Because that's where they're actually getting the benefit. Right? And that's Krishna. Because other aspects are expansion of Krishna, but Govardhan is directly Krishna himself. He asked the question to his father to show his dependence on his family members. Right? Because he's playing, he likes that interaction, that closeness. Lord Krishna said, my dear father, kindly explain to me what this great endeavor of yours is all about. What is it meant to accomplish? If this is a ritual sacrifice, then for whose satisfaction is it intended, and by what means is it going to be executed? Please tell me about it, O Father. Okay, so what does it accomplish? Whose satisfaction is it for, and what means is going to be used? So you're going to do something, who's it meant for, and then what will be the benefits gained from that? So we see as he asks on all these levels. Because that's how he does things, is through this principle of Sankarsham Prajumna Adirudan Vasudev. And he is Sankarsham Prajumna Adirudan Vasudev. So then he naturally asks according to that position. Please tell me about it, O Father. I have a great desire to know, and I am ready to hear in good faith. Certainly no secrets are to be kept by saintly personalities who see all others as equal to themselves, who have no conception of mine or others, and who do not consider who is a friend, who is an enemy, and who is neutral. One who is neutral may be avoided like an enemy, but a friend should be considered like one's own self. When people in this world perform activities, sometimes they understand what they are doing and sometimes they don't. Those who know what they are doing achieve success in their work, whereas ignorant people do not. Right? You always get benefit when you know what you're doing. So that's the thing. The Vedas can explain what's going on, and then the real reason is in Krishna consciousness. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. One should do one's activities by first understanding thoroughly. Isn't it more noisy this year than other years? Was it always like this?
No. This year is much noisier.
Yeah, I mean, it's just everyone's so loud.
At least started.
Yeah. Because generally it's also, it'd be dark by now and cold, so they wouldn't be out here doing all the chachamitra.
In December they used to come now from November only.
Yeah. But also when they come in December, they'll come earlier in the day. They're not coming out now, but now it's a pleasant stroll. So.
But more people are coming.
More people are coming, yeah. But even when they come before, they were quieter, more formal.
I guess with the time, it only increase. It won't decrease.
No.
Every year.
Yeah.
And then a big temple office.
Yes. I will have to put a basement under here, a soundproof basement or something.
Yeah, like Hugaba Goswami. Like
yeah, yeah.
12 meters underground.
12 meters?
Wow. Yeah, he dug a hole for his kapacha.
Yeah. No, it's very common in Vrindavan. Common, but I'm saying it's a standard thing. They call it a gofa. And they just go down underneath. You can't hear anything, can't see anything, you know, so then it works very nice. So we don't mind the seeing, we just don't want to hear. How you say? What is it? That saying in English, pilgrims should be seen and not heard. Yes. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. One should do one's activities by first understanding thoroughly, taking the advice and intelligence of one's intimate associates, rather than do things by imitation or custom. Right, you're just doing it because others did it, or because that's our custom. You know, why do you do this? Oh, that's what our family's always done, like that. Or you just see other people doing it, so you do it, like that. You know, so some benefits gained if it's proper, but if they knew what they were doing, they'd get so much more benefit. Such being the case, this ritualistic endeavor of yours should be clearly explained to me. Is it a ceremony based on scriptural injunction, or simply a custom of ordinary society? Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Lord Krishna said, have you considered the future results, Kriya Yoga, of your activities, tattara, according to the authority of scriptures? Or have you simply received it as a traditional custom? You should explain this with proof. This should be done after I have asked the question, tavat. By these words, he shows his learning so that they will accept his statements. So he's having some fun. Nanda Maharaj replied, the great Lord Indra is the controller of the rain. The clouds are his personal representatives, and they directly provide rainwater, which gives happiness and sustenance to all creatures. Not only we, my dear son, but also many other men worship him, the Lord and Master of the rain-giving clouds. We offer him grain and other paraphernalia of worship produced through his own discharge in the form of rain. Right, so the things that they gain from the rain, those are the things that they'll offer back to Indra. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Tata is an address to his son with affection. The hint is, through the mercy of devatas like Indra, I have attained a qualified son like you. Therefore, you should not oppose this action. Right? So even there, he's seeing it in connection with Krishna. Right? In this sacrifice, there should be no false pride. This sacrifice is accomplished through materials created by Indra's rain, just as worship of the Ganges is performed using Ganges water. Right? So they don't have false pride. The problem is Indra does, so Krishna wants to adjust that. Right? Because technically, who they're worshiping in Indra is who makes Indra Indra, and that's Krishna. That's the actual worship of Indra. But they, you know, not knowing that, then they'll just worship the Devata.
Can we not say that the traditional customs are basically they are based on the scriptures?
Maybe, may not be, but the point is that they'll ultimately be, but it's not that it necessarily says directly that that's what should be done. You know, it's just like, let's say, then entering the house, then with auspiciousness or something like that. So depending upon the locality, then they may consider different things auspicious. So then they'll have different customs that they'll do, so it'll have that regional flavor. But like you said, ultimately it should be, but whether anybody can explain it, that's another thing. So that's the point Krishna made before, is that those who know, they get a proper result, and those who don't know, then they won't get as good a result. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then sometimes things just are by imitation, like Prabhupada gives the example of the cat in the basket. You know, so then they start that because they just imitate. Is that, yeah. Nanda Maharaj continued, by accepting the remnants of sacrifices performed to Indra, people sustain their lives and accomplish the threefold aims of religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. Thus, Lord Indra is the agent responsible for the fruit of success of industrious people. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, results like Dharma are achieved by the mercy of the Devatas. Without their mercy, human efforts are useless and full of obstacles. Without rain, we cannot obtain articles. Without that, we cannot have a livelihood. Without that, we have no strength. Without strength, we cannot perform acts of Dharma. Thus, we should worship Indra. Right? So they're just showing that all this goes along, so therefore it's there. So all he's doing is taking it a step further. But, you know, who makes Indra Indra? That's Krishna. So therefore, you're worshiping Krishna. But he doesn't want to do it as that aspect of reverence, because that'll change the flavor. Mm-hmm. He wants to keep it within sweetness, so therefore they'll worship Govardhan Hill, who's Krishna. Yes.
So Karma Mimamsa can explain things up to the level of Dharma, but beyond that,
that's not possible. Because that's all the farther they're interested in. So anything that will be supportive of Dharma. So in other words, they can get as far back as Pradhan, but that's as far as that can go.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, you mean in creation?
Yes. It means they won't get beyond that. That's the point, is all those five schools won't get beyond that. And even if Vedanta, if it's Shankara, it also doesn't get beyond that. Right? Because Mahakalapura is before Pradhan. It's part of the Mahatattva. So that's as high as they can get. They can't get higher than that.
So where do you... So we are saying that actually only Vedanta goes beyond that.
Only Vedanta goes beyond it, and only Vaishnava Vedanta goes beyond it. And Vaishnava Vedanta will take you beyond to Vaikuntha and into Goloka, into the Vaikuntha aspects.
Yeah.
Right? Only Achintabheda Veda Tattva will take you into Braj.
And so world religions, they have a concept of it, but it's not scientific? Or how do we...
Basically, but it's more based on fear of God.
Yeah.
And it's and basically they're all fruitive. So all they want is technically elevation of the heavenly planets. They just want good material facilities, that's all. You know what I'm saying? And since they don't know about the Devatas, so whether they'd be going there or not, so therefore they just come back and get richer and richer. You know, like that. So you start off as just a local guy with some sheep, and then you end up as the Rothschilds or something like that. You know, the point is. Is so these guys again. Yeah, it's like raining.
They're on each other.
Hmm?
Wait.
The Russian babushka lips. Maharaj Indra concluded, this religious principle is based on sound tradition. Anyone who rejects it out of lust, enmity, fear, or greed will certainly fail to achieve good fortune. Because it is, that's the cycle how things work. He's discussing the principle. Oh, those are termites. That's not good. Butcher? Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates, one should not reject Dharma out of desire for wealth, kamat, or out of a desire for other results through other actions, or out of disrespect for Indra if he does not give rain, or out of hatred of devotees, out of fear that one breaks Vaishnava Dharma by worshipping Devatas, or out of fear of losing wealth, or out of fear of breaking a promise to a dear one. One should not reject Dharma out of greed for position or wealth. By giving up Dharma, one is not forgiven in this life or the next, because this path has been enacted at all times. Param parya gatam. Vai indicates that it is well known or certain, indicating the speaker's certainty. Right, so these are all things. It means you don't give up Dharma for any other consideration. It's just what it's supposed to, it's done, it's supposed to be done.
You know, we were talking about world religions. This is actually relevant.
Yeah. Out of hatred of devotees. Yeah. Verses 12 to 30. Krishna persuades the cowherd men to abandon the Indra Yajna. Sukadev Goswami said, when Lord Keshava, Krishna, heard the statements of his father, Nanda, and other senior residents of Braja, he addressed his father as follows, to arouse anger in Lord Indra. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out, the aim of inciting Indra's anger was to break his pride, to start the annual festival of Govardhan worship, and to live together with his dear devotees for 7 days. These are successive reasons for Krishna's words. Right, so he accomplishes all this because he wanted to start this as a regular form of worship, a regular festival. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Plenty of them. His reasons for discouraging the sacrifice performed to please Indra were twofold. First, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no need to worship the demigods for any material advancement. All results derived from worshiping the demigods are simply temporary, and only those who are less intelligent are interested in temporary results. Second, whatever temporary result one derives from worshiping the demigods is actually granted by the permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayaiva vihitan hitan. Whatever benefit is supposed to be derived from the demigods is actually bestowed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without the permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot bestow any benefit upon others. But sometimes the demigods become puffed up by the influence of material nature, thinking themselves all in all. They forget the supremacy of the Personality of Godhead. In Srimad Bhagavatam is clearly stated that in this instance, Krishna wanted to make King Indra angry. Krishna's advent was especially meant for the annihilation of the demons and protection of the devotees. King Indra was certainly a devotee, not a demon. But because he was puffed up, Krishna wanted to teach him a lesson. He first made Indra angry by stopping the Indra Puja, which had been arranged by the cowherd men in Vrindavan. Lord Krishna said, right, so first he makes them angry. Then after that, they'll do the puja, right? Then after that, then he'll lift Govardhan puja. I mean, Govardhan hill. So then, in this way, he accomplishes all of these by, you know, first making Indra angry. Because mm-hmm. that will then start the other
get
two.
The thing going. Get the thing going.
Yes. Yeah. Lord Krishna said, it is by the force of karma that a living entity takes birth, and it is by karma alone that he meets his destruction. His happiness, distress, fear, and sense of security all arise as effects of karma. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, Lord Krishna thought, who is Indra to receive the worship of my eternal associates like Nanda? Though Krishna had in his mind the idea of breaking Indra's pride, he first defeated his father's argument by taking shelter of the famous Karmavada in order to protect his human pastimes. Karmavad would not reveal his nature as the Supreme Lord, so that's why I use that as opposed to Vedanta. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Krishna began to talk as if he were an atheist supporting the philosophy of Karma Mimamsa. Advocates of this philosophy do not accept the supreme authority of the Personality of Godhead. They put forward the argument if anyone works nicely, the result is sure to come. Their opinion is that even if there is a God who gives man the result of his fruit of activities, there's no need to worship him because unless man works, he cannot bestow any good work. They say that instead of worshiping a demigod or god, people should give attention to their own duties, and thus the good result will surely come. Lord Krishna began to speak to his father according to these principles of the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. My dear father, he said, I do not think you need to worship any demigod for the successful performance of your agricultural activities. Every living being is born according to his past karma and leaves this life simply by taking the results of his present karma. Everyone is born in different types of species of life according to his past activities, and he gets his next birth according to the activities of this life. Different grades of material happiness and distress, comforts and disadvantages of life, are different results of different kinds of activities from either the past or the present life. Sri Krishna continued, even if there is some supreme controller who awards all others the results of their activities, he must also depend upon a performer's engaging in activity. After all, there is no question of being the bestower of fruit of results unless fruit of actions have actually been performed. Living entities in this world are forced to experience the consequences of their own particular previous work. Since Lord Indra cannot in any way change the destiny of human beings, which is born of their own nature, why should people worship him? Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates. Nabuktam kshiyate karma. Without experiencing it, karma cannot be destroyed. Because one must experience one's prarabdha karmas, everyone follows karma. Though men can overcome their natures by a discriminating knowledge, they still cannot change their karma. What to speak of others, right? So you may change how you do things and that'll change in the future, but what you get now is from your past. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, Maharaj Nanda and other elder members argued that without satisfying the predominating God, one cannot derive any good result simply by material activities. This is actually the fact, right? So what Nanda Baba is saying is the correct thing, but because Krishna wants to establish the Govardhan Puja, therefore, then he continues on how he does. For example, it is sometimes found that in spite of first-class medical health and treatment by a first-class physician, a diseased person dies. It is concluded, therefore, that first-class medical treatment or the attempts of a first-class physician are not in themselves the cause for curing a patient. There must be the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is the higher. But still, even in this case, you still don't require the demigod. But they're only going up as far as the demigod. So then in that case, they should be worshipping. Right? In other words, demigod worshippers should not give up worship of the demigods and just fall back on material activities. Right? They should go from worshipping the demigod forward to worshipping the Supreme Lord. So, yes.
Actually, Prama Mimamsa in this context sounds like origin of communism, because that's what they preached. You just work whatever position you are in, be happy and be satisfied with the results of your work, and then you continue like that forever.
Yeah, so any philosophy that you hear will have some aspect from one of these six philosophies. Like that. So Uttamaj pointed out, you won't get anyone speaking the complete package of one philosophy. But they'll speak parts from this and that. So you study the six philosophies on their own, so you know all the aspects. But when you deal with it, then you're going to get one thing from here, one thing from there, and, you know, in a very speculative way. But yes, then, yeah. So you just do your work, be happy. Right?
Someone told me that part of the reason why the Russians were so successful is you just changed the party for Krishna and they cut totally dead it. You know, everything's Krishna, so you just do your work in your position, whatever position that is. And they got that indoctrinated over so many years. So you just remove the party, add Krishna. Right?
Oh, okay. No. Yes. You have to understand the process that's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
They remove the party, we add Krishna.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes.
That's the important part. We're not going to remove the party.
No.
Similarly, a father's and mother's care of their children is not the cause of the children's comfort. Sometimes it is found that in spite of all care by the parents, the children go bad or succumb to death. Therefore, material causes are not sufficient for results. There must be the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then in retort to that, going back farther than Nanda Baba and that, they say the correct point. Right? But then the problem comes is that then they should worship him, then it kind of blows the whole Braj of pastimes, right?
Maharaj, there is first line that is going to mention about without satisfying the predominating God, one cannot derive any good results simply by material activities. So, it has been observed, you know, that whoever is the predominating God of a particular village or a city, you know, if that is not been satisfied, then some kind of difficulties, you know, comes to that particular place. So once in a year, you know, some puja has to be performed, you know.
And that yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So what's the question? Because that's what Nanda Baba is saying.
Yeah. The question is that because Krishna is trying to defeat this particular point that Nanda Baba is mentioning.
Yes. Yes.
Then I'm in support of it. Like.
You're in support of Nanda Baba and them doing the Indra Yagya.
Because, yeah.
Have we now gotten to the root of the problem?
This is
you haven't been sent by Kamsa, right? Spying on what's going on here and all things like that.
Direct experience, you know, that's what I'm speaking.
Yes, but do they know about the Supreme God? About the Supreme Lord and how the demigod or goddess that they're worshipping, their potency is coming from there. So are they replacing that worship of that particular demigod or goddess with worship of Krishna done with proper bhakti coming in parampara? Or are they just not doing that because they would much rather watch the movie that Amitabh Bachchan just came out with? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You understand? So that is because that's the way that they're worshiping the Lord. Krishna makes it, whatever it is that you're doing, means you have what you're supposed to be doing, what's recommended. Even if you come up with something that you're not supposed to be doing, but you say that this is the way it has to be done, then you'll get good or bad results depending upon whether you follow that or not. Does that make sense? You know, in other words, if the Hell's Angels decide that you don't wash your pants, you know, and you wash your pants, you will get bad reaction for that because you have made it that this is your commitment and this is your vrata and you don't follow it. So therefore, you will get a bad reaction, even though you've made the rule up. You know what I'm saying? People who make up their own religion and don't follow it, they get trouble for that. Because there's a point, you're supposed to follow, you know, the authority, you're supposed to follow the rules and regulations. But they'll also be getting trouble for following that bogus thing. Right? So that's why the guys, that's why you see that they're always sitting around and scratching themselves, right?
Yeah, that's why they're like that.
Yeah.
Damned if you do, damned if
you don't. Yeah. So you know saying, so that's why you follow what's recommended, and you follow what's recommended to please Krishna, then that covers everything. There's nothing that you have to do other than that. So,
when he goes in the forest, they feel separation. How do they possibly live so many years before he is born? Before, like by human calculation, he doesn't even exist yet. How do they, like, the devotees, like just that they worship Narayan, they worship demigods, and that's where, and then when he is born, that manifests God.
Yeah, but Nanda Baba has a deity in his house. He worships Vishnu in his house.
Okay, so that's how, before Krishna is born, that's...
No, but why worry about that? Because they came just to take part in the pastime. So even if they're in separation, what does it matter? You know, just like when he goes to Mathura, then they'll be experiencing the separation. You You know what I'm saying? Because it's just the elder ones that are there before. It means all the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls, they all come when he comes. So it's not a problem. They'll be absorbed in Krishna, whatever the situation. And when Krishna comes, then it gets better.
But they are absorbed in when he, so like by human calculation, it doesn't exist yet.
No, but I'm saying, why go into this? What is the point? Why worry about this when Krishna's there? Why create an anxiety that, you know, that there's no need to create when Krishna's here with the residents of Vrindavan performing his pastimes? Yeah.
When preaching, it's quite standard that non-devotees try to cram everything into time and space. I sometimes find it hard. Like, if an issue like this comes up,
what karmi would bring up that point?
Okay, this particular one, but I can't remember a specific instance, but I just remember
something. Yeah, but try to get to the essence of what's the point of the thing. So is the time and space, it means it's just like there's a kitchen. So you can measure time, you can measure space, is that the important point, or is that what's cooked in the kitchen? And what's the purpose of that cooking? What's the result of cooking? So you just buy, like, go buy it by that.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Pingala.